It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle. We started the 2017 recruiting class re-rankings. We haven't actually done the re-rankings part of it yet. We're just discussing a class that really, you know, 60 to 70% of it is poised to probably play the biggest roles of their career. And I know that that's not an abnormal thing, but, you know, a lot of this class, there's a lot of reasons to feel really good about them. Yetur Gross-Matos, obviously he will take another step. I'm sure as a true junior, but a breakout player as a sophomore, and really one of the only things left to determine is, you know, is he an All-American? Is he a national award winner type? He can be in that conversation. And then is he an early exit to the NFL type? All those things are on the table if he is able to kind of keep the especially the second half of his true sophomore season. He's big and fast and just knows how to disrupt. Penn State's got an anchor on his defense. One of the things I would ask, Greg, is, okay, so you got Yetur Gross-Matos. Who would you say has a chance to be the second best NFL prospect out of the 2017 class? Do you have the names in front of you?
I do. Okay. No, I do. I actually have a question for you then, right after I get done answering your question. But we'll see. You know, you go down this list, the one guy that I think, you know, if you're talking a pick for the offense and a pick for the defense, the offense one is really hard because I think KJ Hamler's the guy that jumps off the page as the one that feels like he could be the biggest impact pro guy in this class, if not Sean Clifford. But CJ Thorpe, I think, has to be in that conversation too. Just his drive and his motivation. If he gets to fully bite off all of the offensive line responsibilities this year, because remember he got moved and lost a year of really not a whole year, but 6 months or so of technique and all that. You know, that didn't, but he just has such a drive that I could see him in that conversation as well. Then defensively, yeah, Gross-Matos, of course, leads the way there. The other guy I would say is Tariq Castro-Fields. He's just so naturally smooth, so gifted as a coverage guy, so talented, rarely is in the wrong place. He's 6'1", 173, so he can match up against all kind of guys with his size and his speed. So yeah, I think you have to go with him. You know, could some other guys in this class make that step and be more productive? Yeah, of course. There's no question about it, but he would be my pick. Are you ready for my question now?
Yeah.
Can you name the two players that decommitted from this class?
The two players that decommitted from the 17 class. One was Dylan Rivers.
Yep.
Because Ellis Brooks committed right after that. 2017. I'm not going to waste time on the air thinking out loud, but just give me the second one.
Derek Pitts.
Yeah. Now at West Virginia.
Yes.
I haven't really tracked his career too closely,
well,
but
he's good thing is I just looked it up. So.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Well, so Dylan Rivers had his first career start last year at Virginia Tech, but it doesn't look like he's played a ton. He's more of a rotational guy more than anything else. And then Pitts last year played in all 12 games, was number three on West Virginia's defense with four pass breakups, has played in 19 career games so far. Looks like he missed some time due to injury last year, so he's been okay, not bad.
Yeah.
And Dylan Rivers kind of in the same boat, but neither of them, when both of those guys decommitted, I seem to remember pretty disappointed Penn State community, and I'm not sure that any of those guys have stepped up and really done what it was expected of them just yet. But like these 2017 guys at Penn State did land, a lot of them are these two are both in a position to take a big step forward.
So, not to be overly dramatic about the impact here, but so Dylan Rivers, I could have taken him or left him. Like I thought he was fine, and I'm sure in his career he's going to be fine. Ellis Brooks was more highly regarded, I thought, for a reason. He reminded me a lot of Jason Kabinda, maybe a little bit better athlete at the same time than Jason Kabinda was. We'll see how that plays out. But I really think that that was a turn-the-corner type moment for Penn State recruiting linebackers, because Dylan Rivers leaving kind of furthered a reputation of Penn State not being able to land true linebackers.
Right.
And then to turn around and get a better guy out of that, and then to do what they did in the 2018 class, and then to get the guys that they got in the 2019 class, that was a moment I felt like, not that 2018 wouldn't have happened anyway, or 2019 wouldn't have happened anyway, anyway, but that was the last like bad news on the linebacker front was Dylan Rivers decommitting.
Right.
And it turns out, you know, maybe he ends up being, you know, better than a rotation player. Maybe not. So we'll see. But there's a good chance that when it's all said and done, Ellis Brooks is better than Dylan Rivers.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being the case. The only thing Brooks has working against him is, will he or Jesse Luketa be the one that ends up either splitting time with Jan Johnson or waiting in line to play next year after Johnson graduates following the 2019 season? I think that's the question, and it'll need to be answered.
So, you know, I think the essence, you mentioned C.J. Thorpe and his upside, and I think his upside is significant. I think that, you know, one of the reasons that they are committing to playing Stephen Gonzalez, Mike Miranda, and C.J. Thorpe, both Miranda and Thorpe, I know you're not a big fan of that. And is that what you're trying to jump in and say?
It was more just reactionary as opposed to anything else. I don't get it. I mean, why can't one of those guys just win the job? And Penn State, you know, if you go back through the archives, Matt Linegrover and James Franklin and some of the offensive linemen have talked about, you know, the struggles they've had to get a consistent five and how much of a problem that is or can be or has caused. Yeah. Or, you know, we always hear consistency, 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 consistency. Well, guess what? It doesn't appear to me anyway that if you're going to play with six guys, yeah, you're going to have consistency, but you never know which one's going to be in there. I don't think it worked out that great to have Chaz Wright and Will Fries splitting reps last year. I don't know. When you have six starters, that means you only have four, as far as I'm concerned, because one of those guys, again, has not been able to step up and win the job. To me, I think I was in the Miranda camp going into spring practice, but just listening to things about C.J. Thorpe, seeing him in action, it won't surprise me in the least if he ends up being the one that gets the first snap against Idaho. And, I mean, he just has that bullheaded rusher mentality that I think as long as his, you know, pass protection has improved and the run blocking, I think, was never a problem, you know, he's the guy that I could easily see winning almost all of those reps.
So, and I think that's kind of what I was going to get to, is I think that Mike Miranda, if you're putting a guy on the field right now, is probably a little bit more reliable, a little bit more well-rounded than C.J. Thorpe is. But I think I think it's pretty clear that C.J. Thorpe has the higher ceiling and that the ceiling might start to come sooner than later. I also think that there is value in making sure that all these guys get actual game reps. And I know that there's value in continuity, but if they're close enough, I guess I just don't object to playing two guys for the early part of the season, especially in that non-conference schedule.
Sure.
And getting all those guys some reps so you actually have a sixth lineman, you actually have a seventh lineman maybe.
Right.
I don't disagree with it as much as you do, I guess.
I think it goes back to not so much anything against C.J. Thorpe or Mike Miranda, but just the idea that, again, Penn State's offensive line has taken some steps forward since 2012, 2013, 2014. But it still leaves a little bit to be desired. And I think part of the problem is the lack of consistency. Some of it's injury related. Some of it's, you know, consistent. You know, I guess I need to stop using that word, but some of it's not always, you know, playing at the highest level on the field at a high rate so that another guy gets a chance. And I just feel like one of those guys should, if Penn State's offensive line is going to be the best it can be, one of those guys just needs to step up and win that job. And I agree with you about the non-conference slate. If you want to get a guy's feet wet and get in there, that's fine. But once you hit the Maryland game on that Friday in late September, to me, I think you have to make up your mind and you have to stick with that one guy out there until he gives you reason not to.
So let's get into the re-rankings, and you can kind of disagree with me where you want to.
Sure.
The interesting thing about where this group of players is that you have to do some forecasting to determine, you know, like we did 2015 and 2016.
Right.
We've seen enough of those guys to get a pretty good feel of who they are and what they're doing, what they're capable of doing.
Uh-huh.
There might be a surprise or two. In this case, there might be a lot of surprises. So one that's not a surprise, Yetur Gross-Matos at number one is pretty obvious. He was number four, but in the original rankings by 24/7 Sports, but I don't think that there was much separating him from Lamont Wade and C.J. Thorpe and Sean Clifford. So I think that you know, they were pretty close to on the mark with him. K.J. Hamler had that injury at IMG Academy and didn't play as a senior. If he had played as a senior, I think he probably would have been ranked higher than he was. He would have been recruited harder than he was.
Right. He would have been rated higher, but Penn State may not have landed him.
They probably would not have landed him if he was a stud as a senior in Florida.
Yeah.
I got Tariq Castro Fields at 3. I still got Sean Clifford at 4. Donovan Johnson at 5. Again, you know, they feel good about him now. I think there's a good there's a pretty good chance he's your number 3 cornerback.
Yep.
And you're going to feel even better about him. Jonathan Sutherland, you know, this is a projection as well at number 6. Journey Brown, another projection. They're speaking so highly of him, it's hard not to. C.J. Thorpe at 8 has a chance to be a lot better than that. Lamont Wade at 9, I think you can probably say the same thing. Fred Hansard, just when he was getting started, he got that foot injury last year, so it'll be interesting to see maybe a full season out of him at defensive tackle. Ellis Brooks at middle linebacker. I think Jan Johnson is that's his job to lose, and I'm not sure he's going to lose it, but I think you'll start to see Brooks chip away at that snap count a little bit. Mike Miranda at 12, which I think is right where he was in the 24/7 sports rankings. Again, if he gets in there and this little timeshare with C.J. Thorpe, he's on the winning end of that and is your starting right guard for most of the 2019 season, then he's better than this. Damian Barber, I think the same deal. I think you've seen flashes from him, and I love he carries that size very, very well, and there's length and quickness. He's got a chance to be to make that Anthony Zettel like move from end to tackle,
right,
and be that mismatch guy, and Penn State could use that. So if he's as good as it looks like he could be, he's a guy who's going to rise up this list quick. Cam Sullivan Brown, I've got him at 14. Again, that number 3 wide receiver job is wide open. You know, he could very well stake his claim to that. Dez Holmes started at tackle, briefly moved to guard last season when they shuffled some deck chairs around. I think when it came to moving C.J. Thorpe over to defensive tackle. So we're seeing him work at tackle now. We'll see. Certainly the size, 6'5", 315-ish. D.J. Brown, we just don't know much about D.J. Brown. And the cornerback situation, you know, with Keaton Ellis and Marquise Wilson already on campus.
Yeah.
It seems like he's a guy who's maybe in there's a threat that he gets lost completely there.
Right.
Corey Bold's transferred out. Braylon Faison Walden transferred out. Braylon Franklin was a man without a position. Came in as somewhere between cornerback, wide receiver, defensive tackle, linebacker, safety, quarterback, offensive tackle, offensive coordinator. I think those are the roles that he played in high school. Ended up being really none of those things. Ended up transferring out. And then Robbie Martin, the offensive lineman, who I thought looked to be a pretty decent prospect, opted to step away from football.
Yeah, the only one I probably move Lamont Wade up a little bit and slide Jonathan Sutherland back just because I think it's Wade's job to lose at this point. Otherwise, it's hard to disagree with anything you just said.
I think you say that about anything I ever say in life. So there you go. All right, we're moving on. NFL draft is coming up on Thursday. We're going to look at the Penn State prospects involved here in just a moment.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.